So good to see you again and have you, although I don't like the idea of Jim being sick. Jim got the flu, you say. Well, poor Jim, bless his heart. Land knows. Well, how are you all this August morning? How's this hot weather serving you? I've sort of had the droops lately. I read a cute thing. Old Aunt Eller said, I used to feel better when I was sick than I do now when I'm well. And her old man said, it took him longer nowadays to get rested than it used to take him to get tired. Well, you know, so it goes. You can't beat the calendar. I have an idea maybe the old age was overtaking him. Sometimes you don't recognize it. Well, I read a fine recipe for living anyway. It said, take time for 10 things, and here are the things. Take time to work. It's the price of success. Take time to play. It's the secret of youth. Take time to read. It's the fountain of knowledge. Take time to worship. It is the highway of reverence. Take time to help your friends. It's the source of happiness. Take time to love. It's the one sacrament of life. Take time to dream. It hitches the soul to the stars. Take time to laugh. It's the best lifter of life's load. Take time to pray. It washes the dust of earth from your eyes. I'm so often pleased when mothers write to tell me that their children listen to me. I was in St. Louis, that so many seem like so many children listen to me, and you'd be surprised how many children. I don't know why they do, but they do. And they make all sorts of funny comments. Cute. I had a letter from Mrs. Lee Gold at Crane, Missouri, and she said, I have wanted to tell you something for a long time. At the end of World War II, you were talking on radio of the horrors and the terrible destruction of war. And you said this. You said it will take more than 100 years to build back what it has taken only a few months to destroy. Our youngest son, then 10 years old, was sitting in the floor, and I thought he was so busy he wasn't paying attention to the radio. But he must have been listening. He spoke up and said, oh, she don't know what she's talking about. God could do it because he made the whole world in 7 days. That little boy grew up, the mother tells me, took his training at Fort Leonard Wood last winter, and has been watching the papers to see what President Kennedy was going to do about calling more men to active duty. He won't have to go now. Just 2 weeks ago, we lost him in this awful rash of highway accidents. Well, this letter went through me like a sting of an arrow when I read it. I know all the Golds down in my country. Ms. Gold, we send to you and your family and all of us here at KWTO and all of our listeners, we send our deepest sympathy. I shall always remember this little boy now that you've told me, who took me to task and said God could restore the ravages of war in 7 days. He was right. Indeed, he was. There was one sentence in your letter which is the only spark of comfort that can come to your heart. You said he won't have to go now. No, he won't have to go, Mrs. Gold. That's true. May the Heavenly Father who binds up the broken reed heal you of this tragic grief. Thanks for writing to me, and write if you ever feel that I can help you in any way whatsoever. Mr. Norman Smith, who was a lifelong Mount Vernon man and for many years friend of my family, he writes me a nice little word from Mercy Hospital Rest Home, here where he makes his home now. A very fine citizen he was, and he is now, a very valuable businessman all of his life, and had such a fine family. He said, listening to your talk Saturday, I was thrilled with your sympathetic love of country and for these rolling hills and streams of clear, pure water, and your love for all the Ozark people, of which you're one, and especially for always putting love before your listeners, for he says, love is to him the greatest word in the English language. Well, thank you, Norman, and you are certainly right, and thank you for your kind little note. You know, God is love, so it says. He just doesn't simply have love or own love. He is love. He's made out of love. And so is the whole universe which he made. At least that's what he tells us. Well, we're trying to fix the universe good. If it didn't make it out of love, we'll have it a mess if we keep on. You know, I wonder if this old world is just going to do nothing but quarrel from now to eternity. My, how we need religion. That's the only possible cure. My friend Miss Finkel and I were talking the other day, seriously and visiting, and she said to me a great thing. She said, if we could just meet on some one great plane of understanding, using the good from all religions, Mohammedan, Christian, and worshippers of all strange gods, if we could only get together on one plane, but we don't seem to get together on religion. We need men to match our mountains, as the poet said, men to cleanse the dragon's slime of human hate. We need men like the women who helped to tame the wilderness, don't we? I mean, we need women, what I'm trying to say, like the women who helped to tame the wilderness. You can't find many women today who could tame a goldfish in a $60 bowl. We need women who can be mothers of great men. We need men and women who drink deep of the cup of living. We need parents who can hold a home together. We've slipped a cog someplace. And if we stopped to think of the conditions right now, if we just stopped, we'd go crazy. No wonder I love to broadcast on this little program and talk about the days of peace and neighborliness and pioneer virtues and try to take our minds away from the brink of the jitters. They can crack all the jokes they want to about the old-time hillbilly who could sasser his coffee and never spill a drap, who was born with a tick behind his ear and weaned on black coffee and could spit further than a bullfrog could jump. But most of that's just talk. Yes, that's just talk. Indeed it is. My friend Mirandy of Persimmon Holler on radio in California, my, she's one of them. She says the automobile and the jazz jukebox and the can opener and the store-bought bread and the permanent wave has already just moved right in on us. And they've shoved out the good old corn huskins and the camp meetings and the play parties and the lasses violins. Did you ever go to a lasses violin? She says, I sure hope I don't live to see the day a body has to lock their houses here in Persimmon Holler. She says, electricity has brought us a heap of comforts and conveniences, but it sure has got one thing to answer for. This idea of staying up half the night and then laying in bed all morning and missing the best part of the day. I wonder if she's hitting at me. She says, in a lot of ways, civilization's got too big for its britches. A heap of houses has got more bathtubs in them than they got Bibles, and by granny, that's a mistake. Don't you think that's a mistake, Fred? Got more bathtubs than they got Bibles. I tell you, that Miranda is a caution. She's still on radio going strong in California on the coast and has been for 25 years. She's originally a Springfield woman, born in Taney County and educated and taught here in Springfield. A great and talented star. I want to say hello to the Berry Tour folks returning this morning from the Ozarks from their wonderful tour. I hope you come back. You know, I talked to you last Saturday night and I told you, hurry back, like they say in the hamburger stands, hurry back. Remember, we all love you. I know you had a good time. My friend Ms. Ruth McCormick at Reed Springs sent me an article that she had saved, and it's surely a strange thing and worth telling to you. It's from Wing and Anderson's book on the prophetic years. It's a queer sort of coincidence. Of course, I suppose it is a coincidence. But every president of the United States that died while in office in our past history was elected in a year ending in a zero. You know, Henry, and you know what I mean, like 1840 or so and so on. Never elected in a year ending in a digit, like, for instance, Eisenhower was first elected in 1952. He was mighty sick, but he didn't die. Well, it starts this way. William Henry Harrison was elected in 1840, and he died in office. Abraham Lincoln was elected in 1860, assassinated while in office. Garfield elected in 1880, shot and killed in office. McKinley elected in 1900, assassinated in office, all of them ending in zeros. Harding in 1920, died in office. Franklin Roosevelt in 1900 was elected, died in office. You know, if this fate happens again, it could mean that our present president, who is now in office, as he was elected in 1960, a year ending in zero, but maybe he'll break the cycle. Well, those things are most always just very strange coincidence, and not to scare anybody, but they puzzle us sometimes. I hope we have no more presidents at all ever assassinated in this great country of ours. Let's leave that to the wild and half-civilized nations that are always kicking up revolutions. This week we celebrate the anniversary of one of the bloodiest and most cruel battles this nation ever saw, the Battle of Wilson Creek. And you know, it was always Wilson Creek, believe me, and I'm peeved. I don't know why I should be so peeved about it. It never was Wilson's Creek, although some of them say it was, but they sure got to show some papers to convince me. Why, I've known it all, think of how many years. When I was a child, we used to go to the Wilson Creek reunions, go on wagons and hacks from Galena up to Republic. There's no other way to go, and go on out to the grounds. When I was just a very young teenage girl, they asked me to give an original oration at one of the big celebrations, and I did. I struggled with it for weeks with the help of my mother, of course. She chose the subject for me, the American Volunteer. I delivered it, and for that I was made a Daughter of the Republic. There was only one other one in Missouri then, Miss Millie Eldridge of Springfield. I wish I knew where she was or where she went. So this is a great time of memory for me. I recall that I took my little black guitar and sang, "I'm a poor rebel soldier and a long way from home." A great old Civil War folk song then. It's been nearly 65 years ago, Fred. And they have asked me to sing and be on hand out there tomorrow night. The Lord willing, and Wilson Creek don't, not Wilson's, Wilson Creek don't rise, I'll be there at the program. And I'm going to sing, "I'm a poor rebel soldier and a long way from home. The fusses and the Federals, they've caused me to roam." My ancestors for generations were on the Federal side, but they were not mean and prejudiced. Neither were my parents, and believe me, that was a great deal closer to the Civil War than it is now, and blood was still in your eye. I can remember it yet. I wouldn't take anything from my memory as a child of the Civil War soldiers of both sides and knew them by the dozens. Well, that's all right. Let it go at Wilson Creek. The governor's made it. Why it has to be that, I don't know. I was brought up on the big creeks all over my country. Rayleigh Creek, Roark Creek, Dry Creek, Flat Creek, Horse Creek, John Creek, Swan Creek. None of them had an S on the end. To me, it's too bad. It's unhandy. It's clear off center. It's not phonetic nor historical. I'll never be made a believer. You must remember, I've known Wilson Creek a lot longer than many of you. But my time's up, and I must move on. I'll see you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek will rise.